It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. I'm sitting here with the big O, Oscar Garner III, and Ben Botham. And we're going to, in this hour, we're going to talk to Rick Vaughn. We'll talk a little Kevin Kiermaier. And who's the gentleman we've got down coming down, the MMA guy?
Oh, yeah. We have Anthony Garcia.
Now, how'd you meet this cat?
So believe it or not, his father actually is a customer at my dad's store. And so they have Detroit Coney Island hot dogs. And they come into the store all the time. And I was chit-chatting with his father. And he showed me a couple clips. And geez Louise, this guy can fight. And I knew he had to come on the show.
Okay. Well, your reputation's on the line because of my background in boxing. I'm not an MMA guy. But we will talk about the sweet science and how it melds into it. But right now, let's talk about what's going on in the world of sports this weekend. Of course, Ferg's from the front row. The big O just informed me that there is a ton going on this weekend. So why don't you give us a little snapshot, a little snippet brought to you by Sea Dog Brewery and Ice Pick.
Well, it is college football Saturday. You know, we're barreling down towards the playoff here. We're in the last stretches. A lot of people have about three games left. What's most important? We got these fringe teams. We got a lot of good teams at the top. TCU just climbed into fourth place.
They play Texas. This is a big day today. They play Texas in Austin. They're 7-point dogs.
TCU's future is in their hands. They've been put in fourth place. If they can win out and handle business, they will be in the playoff. I think they'll be in the playoff, but they have to fend off the Tennessees of the world, who was up against Missouri this weekend. They're up 14-7. They're in fifth place. Michigan's got to hold off Nebraska this weekend, which shouldn't be much of a problem, but they'll be playing Ohio State in a couple weeks.
Zero problem.
Oregon, though. Oregon, number six. They have to play Washington.
Oregon got schooled by Georgia by 38 points at the beginning of the season.
Now, that's their only loss, though.
38 points?
It's Georgia.
The first time they got tested?
The reigning champ?
But
look.
Oregon's a pretender.
They got 7-2 Washington coming up. If they can win this game, they can close out. You know, they could be a playoff team as well. TCU, like you said, playing Texas. USC is struggling to be relevant. They're number 8 right now above Colorado. They're trying to fight their way.
They played Colorado last night and beat them like a yard dog.
55-17. So they're trying to fight their way into the playoff right now. And then LSU.
Hold on 1 second. USC and what's one of the greatest traditional games still has to play my Fighting Irish, and they're going to go down. So don't even talk USC.
The Irish are up against the Navy right now, aren't they, or is it Army?
Navy, and they're 17.5-point dogs, and everybody said jump on Navy because they run that veer and they hold on to the ball. They might throw two passes
today. Do you know what the score is right now? 21-6.
Navy?
No.
Oh.
Notre Dame.
Okay. Well, so much for the pundits. I steal all my stuff anyway. You know that. This isn't my own opinions. I steal everything and act like it comes out of my pie hole.
Well, the last game of relevance I have to say is LSU. LSU beat Bama last week. They're trying to ride some momentum to get into the playoff. They're number 7 in the national rankings, and they play Arkansas this weekend, and they're tied 3-3 right now.
Well, because we're going to John Daly's event next weekend up in Clearwater, I am pulling for the Razorbacks, and also I can't stand LSU, and that's because of that cheating, no good Brian Kelly.
Tell us how you really feel.
Brian Kelly. And then he gets down, he leaves Notre Dame, you know,
hey, y'all.
Yeah, exactly. And then he
makes southern accent.
Yeah, remember that?
What a clown.
What a clown. Right then I lost all credibility with him. Anyway, I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, you're good. I missed one, though. Shout out my man Worthington. He listens to this show. He used to be on the equipment team for Alabama. My bad, bro. I forgot. Alabama plays Mississippi. They're at Ole Miss this weekend. It's the 7-2 Alabama versus the 8-1 Ole
Miss. Don't they play Mississippi State?
No, it's Ole Miss.
It's Ole Miss?
It's Ole Miss this weekend. Nine seed versus 11 seed right now. So going what's that? Lane Kiffin's coach, right?
Yes.
Lane versus Saban right now.
Well, and that is the teacher and the student, in that case.
Yep.
And he would love nothing more.
Kirby was a student too, right?
Kirby Smart? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When your kids come back to
when the kids come back to play, you give them a good ass beating. But, Lane Kiffin, I used to think he's a clown. He is one heck of a coach. And I was fortunate enough to meet his dad, Monty Kiffin, this summer over at the Tampa Sports Club. Nice man. All right, that's it for football.
That's it for college football.
You ready for a little recap of your opinion of the 2022 World Series before we get Rick Vaughn?
Sure, we can do a little recap of that. Of course, if anyone was paying attention, the Astros did win the series in six games.
Everybody was paying attention.
Yeah, beating the Phillies 4-1 in the final game. And the Astros became the first team since the 2013 Red Sox to win the World Series at home. So it's been quite a while since that happened. And, of course, the game was kind of locked in for a victory after Yadorn Alvarez connected on a Jose Alvarado sinker in the bottom of the sixth inning to win the game, pretty much. I was pretty close on my prediction, scoring it up being 4-1. I was thinking 3-1 Phillies, kind of flip-flopped. I was close.
The fighting Phillies. Didn't you keep calling them fighting Phillies?
The fighting Phillies, yeah. That's.
They didn't put up enough of a fight.
They kind
of
rolled over and died. But the real question is this year kind of solidifying a Astros dynasty, winning two World Series in 6 years, or is this more a story of a Phillies triumph after an 87 win season, changing the managers halfway through and struggling with the injured Bryce Harper?
I think you could go with both stories, Ben, and here's the reason I say that. I don't know if I start talking any kind of dynasty with the Houston Astros. They just gave Dusty Baker a one-year contract. And then their general manager, they only offered him a one-year contract, and he is PO'd. That sends a statement. I thought that owner was a good cat. There's some sort of friction everybody's talking about right now. It's unheard of. A guy that just took you to the two consecutive World Series, one, and then when his contract renewal is up, offer him 1 year. That's a slap in the face.
Maybe it's because they haven't been acting like a dynasty. If you win two in 6 years, I struggle to call that a dynasty. I know they went to a couple.
Well, I know a lot of teams that'll be very damn happy with that.
Believe me, I would as well. I would love to be saying that here from the Rays. But maybe that could be driving the friction there. He's not happy with how they've been performing. You know, if you take the team to a World Series or deep into the playoffs each year and not being able to execute, kind of reminds me of a Kevin Cash.
Now, we won't go there, but I agree with you. There's been a lot of questionable decisions by Kevin Cash. However, I think those babies come from upstairs.
I agree with you. I agree.
I think 100%, and I get tired of the analytical decision-making that takes place in baseball. There's no more gut feel anymore. I do think Dusty Baker goes with gut feel.
Yeah, Dusty Baker definitely has been able to mix the gut feel with the analytics. And the Astros are definitely the team that the Rays need to kind of take a note from, where they've mastered this, you know, look at analytics, but also have some feel. If a guy's doing well, ride him out there. If a guy's playing well, keep him in.
Well, here's a guy that knows a lot more about baseball than we ever thought about, and he's Rick Vaughn, and he's kind enough to take some time on this Saturday to join us. And how you doing today, man?
Hey, Mike, I'm doing great. It's great to be with you guys.
Well, I thought that, you know, with the news about Choi and even more so the news about Kevin Kiermaier, I should get someone that was close to the situation, as he was with the Rays for 12 years and kind of the face of the Rays for the majority of his career.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. He has a Hollywood face to begin with, and but he was one of those guys. Yeah, I was lucky enough to work with him for about 5 or 6 years. And he, you know, if you go back and look at his career numbers, you know, and you don't know anything about him, he only, I think he played in more than 130 games only one time. I don't think he only stole more than 20 bases once. He never hit more than 15 home runs. He never drove in 60 runs in a season. And I think, as I may have said, he only stole over 20 bases one time. But you would say, well, he seems, those are pretty pedestrian numbers. But you know what? They don't tell anywhere near the story of him, because, A, he was unlucky in that he got hurt a lot. He couldn't help that. He got hurt partly because he played so hard. But he was one of those guys, you always wanted him in the lineup. You know, when I was the PR director there, I always felt better when he was in the game, because he made everybody better around him, especially the pitching staff, you know. And he covered, you know, having that guy in the middle of the diamond covering so much ground, and everybody, you know, the other teams knew who he was. They knew not to run on him, you know. And I think his value is, he won 3 gold gloves, which is, you know, a tremendous tribute to him and all. But I don't think anybody even really appreciates or will appreciate down the road when they look at those numbers how valuable he was to the team. We were a better team when he was on the field, you know, every single time. And, you know, he's only 32. So if he can get himself healthy, you know, get this hip thing behind him and get himself healthy here during the off season, I think he can still help another team. You know, he's really not like he's an old guy anymore.
You know, I had a conversation with Topper, Mark Topkin. We've got a connection. He went to Drake University. I'm from Des Moines, Iowa. And he said, though, that he thought that Kevin Kiermaier would possibly and probably at one time this past year retire after this year because of this hip injury. It's that painful and that difficult to manage.
Oh, well, I didn't realize that it was that serious. That's too bad, because if he could get past it, he could, you know, he's, like I said, he's not that old, and hopefully they can find a way to get by it, because he's still, to me, still valuable as long as he can cover the ground that he used to cover. So and he's a really good person too. You know, he's really just one of those people who's just regular. You know, he's just a regular guy, and it was easy to be around him. You know, I always enjoyed my time with him.
Yeah, it's great when he's on the field. Like you were saying, he was limited to 63 games this season due to, you know, the various hip injuries. And as much as I do have issues with him and his play style, his wins above replacement, he is the fourth most valuable player in club history behind Evan Longoria, Carl Crawford, and Ben Zobrist. So, I mean, that's a pretty good group to be with in team history. You know, he's going to be a guy that people are going to remember in the franchise.
Yeah, not bad for a 31st round draft pick. So yeah, he was in the middle of a good number of those playoff teams. You know, he got to play in, I mean, we brought him up, I think it was in 2011, just for the playoffs, and then so he was a part of the team in 2013, and then he went to the playoffs, you know, three times anyway. We won't count this year with the recent Rays. So yeah, his value, you're right. That's a great statistic. I wasn't even aware of it, so that's good. You know, that, and those are numbers now that people sort of look at now, you know, is the WAR number. So hopefully those, they'll remember that, and then he will get his due when it comes time to honoring, you know, the all-time Rays.
You know, Rick, it's kind of like with Brett Phillips, and you know, your true fans that kind of get embedded in the Rays like they're a family. That, you know, they get upset when the Brett Phillips of the world, who brought so much energy to the clubhouse and instrumental in some big games like KK was, they don't understand, you know, the business side of it. So it's a catch-22 for ownership and in any club when someone that's beloved in the community is moved on, they kind of look at the front office like they're, you know, ruthless bastards.
Yeah, you know, you let your heart get in the way of it sometimes, but you know, I mean, it's a good problem to have. You know, if you got your players that are embedded in the community like that, that's what you want. You know, that's what you want. And unfortunately, you know, trades and roster moves are a part of the deal. You know, and so you just kind of move on. I mean, I look at him; he's still he may not be representing the Rays, but he sure represents baseball really well. And to me, you know, I guess he's living here in the off season. You know, he can continue to be active in the community and be a great representative for MLB.
You know what I loved about him, and this is a feel-good story. I mean, he's an Indiana kid, but his family background, and of course, there's conversation about it. He potentially getting picked up by the Cubs because his brother's there. That'd be kind of cool. But when he, you know, got signed to a lucrative contract, and he wanted to buy his parents, I think, vehicles or a home or something, and they're so down to earth, they wouldn't accept that. They just wanted him to keep his own jack, and that's Midwest work ethic. I mean, fundamentals. I tell you that.
Yeah, you're right. You said it. It's a Midwest way of looking at life. You know, they've earned what they have, and they're very comfortable with that. And I think it's pretty special. And you can understand why he has grown up the way that he has. If those are the people that have been raising him, you can't be surprised that he is as giving back to the community as he is.
As a Cubs fan and working for the organization, you know, decades ago, he's one of those kind of pickups that the Cubs do make from time to time, and has a little bit of success. But the people in Wrigley Field, you know, along having his brother in the organization, that might be not too bad a fit.
Yeah, I tell you what, and not only on the field, I think he'll be a good fit there, but even off the field. I'll tell you, when Joe Maddon was with the Cubs, and one of my roles is I help him with his charitable foundation, and when Joe was with the Cubs, to work with that organization and the way they help their players get involved in the community, and they are second to none. They do. I mean, I've worked with a bunch of different teams over the last 30 years on different projects, and I've never seen an organization that does a better job with helping their players get into the community. They see the importance of it. If he goes there, that'll be a terrific fit, at least off the field, because he will be such a welcome presence there, and they will put their arms around him, I can tell you, and hopefully... you know, he can get up there and play a good role for that team and see what happens.
You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill on a Super Saturday down there, and we're having a nice conversation with Rick Vaughn. He's been down here before. Author, as he mentioned, he involved in the foundation with Joe Maddon, but his newest your newest baby is your 100 Years of Baseball on St. Petersburg waterfront, how the game helped shape a city. And just a cool book, and I bet it was an absolute labor of love. And Ben Botham, sitting across from me, is a baseball historian, loves the game, and he's coaching kids at Seminole now and pitched a little bit. He's impressed with the book already, I can tell you that. And talk a little bit about the book and how people can get it.
Sure. Yeah, it was a joy to write. I mean, I did not set out to write a book. I was down there at Al Lang for a soccer game, and as I was leaving, I noticed that the name Al Lang Stadium was no longer visible on the outside of the ballpark, and that kind of bothered me, being a baseball guy. And so I started walking around, and there was very little, next to nothing, really, that commemorates the history of the game there. So I thought, you know, we need to try to do something about this. So I actually met with one of the senior members of the city council, told him my idea. I said, look, I'm not trying to make anything off of this. I just wanted to really bring it to your attention. And they liked the idea. You know, he said, yeah, can you help us with the research and stuff? So I started researching, and then after about a month, I started sending him my ideas and some things. And then, unfortunately, probably best to say that their interest was not there anymore. So I really didn't hear much back from them. But by that point, I had started down this rabbit hole, and I also had done some research on the ballpark when I was a member of the Rays PR staff. So I had already done a little bit, but not nearly what I started to do. And the more I did, the more I was like, wow, I didn't know about this, and I didn't know this guy played there, and I didn't know. And then I really realized how important baseball was to the development of the city, really, starting, you know, in 1914 and really, really continuing for, you know, six, seven decades after that. But so much that happened to the city it revolved around either the three ballparks there. There was Waterfront Park there that was built in 1921, and then Al Lang Field in 1947, and then Al Lang Stadium in 1977. And they were all pretty much on the overlapping footprints right down there where the stadium is now. And it was a center of the city. So many civic things happened there. But not only that, I mean, you had all of these, just to give you an example, when the Depression hit, baseball was, or St. Pete had been going through a really good growth spurt in the 1920s, and then the Depression hit, and we had the Boston Braves and the New York Yankees training there, and you had two of the three largest media markets in the country bringing all that media down, and you had, you know, people that had a little bit of money, even during the Depression, came down to watch baseball, and I think, you know, I found at least one historian told me that he thought that the fact that those markets were there and so many of the people, the license plates were New York and Massachusetts, really helped get St. Pete out of that depression a little bit quicker than some of the other cities in Florida. And so even things like that, I think it just shows you how wrapped up the city was for 3 months every year. And it was like a... It was a media center, you know, for, you know, basically for the first quarter of every year for many, many years, because the Yankees trained there from 25 to 1961. And then the Cardinals were there, of course, even longer. And many great players came through there. And there was a lot of civic pride. I tried to write a little bit about civil rights and what went on. Was going on in baseball at the time. You know, I think people thought that when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier that all was good with the world when it came to baseball, and that wasn't true, and it clearly wasn't true during spring training in the South. There were still many issues. Jim Crow laws still intact, and so baseball sort of had a role, and it wasn't huge, but it had a role in trying to move that needle on the injustices that were happening in the South. And I wrote a little bit about that, and St. Pete was in the middle of that. So I thought that was kind of a really cool thing. And then, you know, this, the whole idea of St. Petersburg becoming a tourist market. You know, Al Lang was the two-time mayor and got baseball started there. And this book is really about him. You know, it's him and how he fell in love with the city. He was a huge baseball fan, and he moved down from Pittsburgh, and he was able to devote his life. He made some good money at an early age with the laundry business that he had, and he was able to kind of devote his life to those two loves. And so he not only got some really good teams to train here, he kept them here. I mean, can you imagine? The Yankees were here from 25 to 61. How many times do you think cities came to the Yankees and said, hey, how about moving your spring training site to our location? And he didn't let it happen. You know, he was just a great steward of the city. He promoted the city so well, and he realized that baseball could be the thing that carried the news about the city on its back. And so it got to a point, I loved reading about the fact that starting in like the late 20s, the newspapers in the North, when they did their dateline from St. Pete, they didn't even bother putting Florida on it because everybody knew where St. Petersburg was. And that's all really on Al Lang. You know, he did so much to keep this to keep the vibrancy of the city alive, and he used baseball for a quarter of the year to do that.
Well, it's a great read. I just passed it over to Ben for his pleasure, and it's been a pleasure to have conversation with you again, my friend. Come on down some Saturday, throw you on the air, and buy a couple of beverages and a bite to eat down here at Ferg's. And by the way, I know you're a fan of this place. It's his 30th anniversary on Wednesday, all day affair. Come on down. It's going to be music, giveaways. We're going to do live radio. I'll throw you on. We'll do a nice shout out to Ferg, and it'll be an absolute blast.
Yeah, is that this coming Wednesday, Mike?
Yeah, it's the 23rd. It's the 23rd.
Yeah. I planned on being down there for that.
Okay, well, I will see you there, and I'll throw you on the air with me, and we'll talk a little bit more about 100 years of baseball on St. Petersburg waterfront, how the game helped shape a city. Thanks, Rick Vaughn, for your input on KK, and I hope to see you soon.
All right, thanks, you guys. Have a great day.
All right. Rick Vaughn, and he can talk baseball. You two are going to love it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come down. We're going to break down the NFL. We're going to talk a little more MLB. And then we've got the man himself, Brad Richardson, with our Body Armor Prep Connection, winding down last night's Florida football playoff action that took place across the area, and some games taking place tonight as well. We'll be back live from Ferg's on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection.
Time's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. With the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from the Clubhouse Studios, inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Hurricane Ian wreaked havoc across the state of Florida, leaving many Floridians asking where to go for information on their insurance claims. Times are stressful and the uncertainty is as well. Ask an Adjuster is here to guide you through the process and make certain you maximize your insurance claim. Fred Martinez and Roger Warren are private adjusters that work for you. They are not the insurance company. Their motto is inspect, advise, collect. The inspection and claim review are free. That's how confident Ask an Adjuster is. Fred and Roger have worked together for years and recovered $50 million for the clients on top of what the insurance company wanted to pay. Handling your own claim without a Florida public adjuster is like going to court without an attorney. You can do it, but a sizable disadvantage without the knowledge of the rules and procedures. Give Fred and Roger a call today at 321-961-3380 for your free inspection and claim review. That's 321-961-3380. Go to askanadjuster.com for more information and ease the stress of this challenging time.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central, across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game-watching events, concerts, and, of course, all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action, along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I'm Captain Jeff Figgers from Florida Fishing and Adventures. Do you want to constantly catch more fish, spend less time changing baits? If so, Monster 3X baits, jigs, and scents are the answer. Monster 3X baits are tough, durable, and resistant, which allows you to catch more fish per bait. The combination of the Monster 3X lure with the ProCure bait super scent, you will be landing more fish right away. Whether it's the Monster 3X Ultra Soft or the X Swim lures, Swim Shad, Paddle Tails, Crawfish, or the X Frog, Monster 3X, you'll always find it in my tackle box.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, down here live at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Our prep connection is brought to you by Body Armor. We got some great sponsors now with Shrimpy's Waterfront, and we're going to have a conversation there. Big Storm Brewing, Sea Dog Brewery as well, and a lot to talk about in the world of pro football. And I tell you what's going to take place tomorrow down here, Oscar, in your neighborhood at 9:30 a.m. There's a Bucks watch party, and there will be Bloody Marys. There'll be screwdrivers. Woo. And maybe some Champa Bays with ice pick.
Aye.
Because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are playing in Munich, Germany.
Yeah. That's a perfect way to start. It's beautiful. So the Seahawks and the Buccaneers will go head-to-head. They're both in the playoff hunt. Who would have thought that the Seahawks were going to be there? Seahawks have my boy Kenneth Walker III, who is going crazy as a running back this year. They'll be in Munich, Germany. Up against the Buccaneers and Tom Brady. So be sure to – I don't even know what time that's going. I don't even know what time zone to adjust for that. Like, that's
– 9:30 a.m. That's all you got to worry about.
9:30 a.m. All right, cool. That's all you got to worry about. Another big matchup, Vikings-Bills, two top teams right now.
Nope, Josh Allen's not playing.
Oh, Josh is out.
Josh has got a problem with his shoulder.
Well, hammer the Vikings. I've had a – Justin Jefferson on my fantasy team this year, and he has been lights out. Dude's a stud. He's a
who cares? Move on.
He's huge.
You're killing my Packers.
Take the take the Vikings over the Bills this weekend. Lions and Bears. Lions just beat up on the Packers last week, so little NFC North matchup there.
It's kind of funny that the Wizard of Oz thing is the Lions, Tigers, and Bears. And you're from Detroit.
And I have two of them. Yeah, I have two of them.
That was a brilliant
statement.
And they
both suck. So we have Broncos and Titans. Broncos, let's ride. They'll be up against each other. Jaguars and Chiefs. Chiefs are, of course, at the top of the AFC West this year. Dolphins and Browns. I just want to shout out the AFC East. AFC East is the best division in football. You got three teams in the playoff hunt right now. And knocking on the door for the seventh seed is the Patriots. Like all four,
they're the strongest division in football right now.
Over 500, every single team, and the worst team is Bill Belichick and the Patriots. So watch out for the AFC.
And who would have thought that the NFC East is the strongest division in the NFC?
Exactly. NFC East right now with Washington Commanders being that team on the outside. Everybody else, the Philadelphia Eagles are 8-0 right now. Who else we got? The Dallas is 6-2, and the Giants are 6-2. I definitely didn't see that coming.
Who saw the Jets and the Giants? That fan base of rabid maniacs.
The state of New York is on fire.
You mean New Jersey? The New Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. You know anybody that's a Commanders fan? I don't.
RG3?
I don't think he's even a fan.
I don't think he is. As much as he's involved with that's the Ravens.
Tough. Yeah, that's tough. All right, let's. Did we wrap up where we were at in baseball?
Yeah, we were pretty good there with baseball. We touched on Kiermaier leaving. Another one leaving as well is good old G-Man Choi.
G-Man Choi. He was another one of those people's favorites.
Everyone loved him.
He just looked like a big teddy bear.
He was. He was definitely a guy. He got traded to the Pirates for minor leaguer Jack Hartman.
We send a lot of people to Pirates.
Yeah, we seem to have a good relationship with them.
They take our discards.
Most of the time, we're on the good end of these trades.
Almost every time.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Look at the Archer trade.
Yeah, the Archer trade, and we winded up getting Archer back too. I thought that was very strange.
That's what do you call it when Indian givers? He can have him back.
Yeah, but I do think the Rays need to find some hitters, a good offense. And I said this at the beginning of this season. Corey Kluber was not the answer for our big-name pitcher. I still think we need to make a move on Trevor Bauer. I will ride that till I die. I think Trevor Bauer, we can get him out of steel, and he'll be a major star for the franchise to kind of uplift the team and get some notoriety.
Yeah, well, then you better get a hold of the St. Police Department and let them know he's in town. He's a sick bastard.
He was not convicted of any crime.
Oh, please, you apologist.
No, they threw out all the charges. They threw out everything.
This is the first time I've heard somebody mention him as a bargain on the market.
Yeah, well, first time anybody that has supported him. I worry about your morals.
No, I'm not supporting him. I'm just saying he's not convicted of anything.
You can't wait for Deshaun Watson to come back.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson, there's definitely an ongoing criminal investigation of him.
Let me tell you what Mr. Bauer, his out was. It's called Mean Green. Cashola. Oh, of course, that never happened.
Well, they have text messages to prove his side of the argument was the factual one. So that's the only reason why I'm not standing up for him. I think the guy's a little kooky, but I do.
Just what we need, somebody kooky to turn the Rays around.
We need something.
Need your Rodman.
We need to do something in the playoffs here. Rodman helped a lot getting them the basketball championship.
All right, we're going to go positive here. We're going to go positive and talk prep connection with our man, Brad Richardson. You all right there, brother? All right, he gets off the mat. He of course, is the voice of Seminole Athletics, where my man Ben Botham is now going to be. So you got to dress up. You get to put on gear like a coach.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I'm going to be helping out the team a little bit, so I'm excited to see how they do. I'm actually heading to their game after this. So
you're going all the way to Pasco?
I am. I'm an assistant coach now, Brad.
Oh, geez.
All right, you guys keep that to yourself. All right, let's dive into last night. And one game that I was very, very excited about was my favorite, one of my favorite Iowa defensive backs, Marcus Pascal, and his Largo Packers.
Oh yeah,
and Sean Davis is a good friend of mine. He, you know, of course, he's the head coach over at Northeast. Thanks a lot, Charlie. See you guys. And that's my man Charlie Breakiron from Sea Dog Bureau. We'll be doing some shows from there. So anyway, I like that score.
Oh yeah, 22-0 over Northeast. Yeah, that was definitely a good game last night.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it was, you know, Northeast definitely came out on the field. They were definitely challenging for that game. You know, Largo throughout the season, especially in 3M, has been very competitive. Some games have just been either blowouts or some of them have been very competitive, but definitely Northeast gave Largo a run for their money. 22-0 final score. Largo will move on and play East Bay on November 18th, and the home game will be at Largo.
East Bay, are they perennial power? I'm just getting into it. In football?
They are a little bit, yeah. I mean, they are a little bit of a competition for them. I mean, they're over on the other, you know, they're over in Hillsborough County area and all that. So, but and of course, last night, of course, East Bay played Osceola. Duh, tough game there. 14-12 final score.
I know, Coach Montgomery. I love that cat.
Yeah, that was a good game and all that. Close score. And then some of the others last night. Jesuit faced off against St. Pete, 52-0 final score. They will play Gaither.
You know what? We had the St. Pete kids down here last week, and it's just great to see them get in the playoffs and get a taste for, you know, they know what they're up against, but opportunity to get a taste for the playoffs helps build a program.
Well, absolutely. And then the other thing, too, you get out of Pinellas County and you're going to be able to see the true competition in the state of Florida. Lakewood has seen this season, especially when they've been playing teams more or less in South Florida, you know, Daytona Beach and all that area. You see the competition that's there.
And that's why their record is deceptive. People look at it and they say, geez, Lakewood's not having the year they normally do. Well, that's because Coach Moore has raised the bar on who they're playing, and that makes a big difference.
Exactly. I mean, especially in this area, you know, especially with all the players that they have. Claudio is going to be going to D1 school and all that. So needless to say, he wants to show them the competition that he will probably be facing when he goes to the next level, obviously, in college. You know, now with Gaither, you know, Gaither played, of course, Pinellas Park. Pinellas Park, you know, the final score of that, Gaither 27, Pinellas Park 6. Once again, that'll be at Jesuit High School. And then, of course, you know, back to Lakewood and all that. Lakewood played Clearwater, you know, and that was final score 42-3. Definitely running clock in that one. And Lakewood will be facing number 36 ranked Tampa Catholic at Tampa Catholic on the 18th. And then, of course, Calvary Christian came out on top, beating Blake 56-13. Berkeley will be who they will be playing next week. Berkeley, of course, crushed Robinson last night, 42-13. So that's
And Blake's another one of those schools getting to the playoffs. Gives them a little, you know, a little energy towards, you know, getting more kids to come out for the program and believe in themselves.
Yeah, I mean, and really within the times, you know, you look at football, you know, last few years, you know, you've had a lot of kids that just don't want to play football all because of CTE that's been going on. And, you know, some kids, unfortunately, they look at this and they say, well, what's this going to benefit for me? It's all about what will I get by doing the sport? You know, obviously it's going to help with college applications and being a well-rounded student. But I think, unfortunately, some kids say, well, what's going to happen with me? Is this going to help me go further and further with football in college? So there's a bigger perspective to it, and they get to see the competition, and they get to, you know, bond. They get to meet other kids and bond and go from there. It's a bigger perspective and all that.
Yeah, and you look at these coaches, like poor Gudorf was just here from Boca Ciega. He lost four quarterbacks this year. Four. Wow. Have you ever heard of that?
Very rare.
In any sport, rare. I've never heard of that. Have you ever? Four quarterbacks in 1 year? NFL, college, none. Yeah. But you build a core, and these kids want to continue.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then, of course, next week, just want to go over this real quick. We have Class 1M. So you're going to have number four. This is these four teams in here. Number four ranked Indian Rocks Christian in 1M will be facing off against CCC, Clearwater Catholic, who, by the way, CCC is ranked number 12 by Max Preps in the state of Florida.
Overall.
Yeah. And this is going to Max Preps. Yeah, very small school. That game will be at CCC. And then, of course, the other thing you have, too, is you have Northside Christian versus Carrollwood Day. And right now, Northside is carrying an 8-1 record, and Carawan Day at 5-3. As I've said throughout the season, of course, Mike Allstott's been able to really bring Northside Christian around. Had a few rough years, but, you know, Mike's Mike. He's able to do what he's able to do. And one real quick note, I just want to say right now, tonight will be a Class 4M quarterfinal game. That's Eastlake versus Olympia. A lot of people have heard that that game was rescheduled because of Hurricane Nicole that came through. That will be at Eastlake at 6 p.m. tonight.
All right, Brad Richardson. Now I want you to change to your voice. For Seminole Games, and I want you to introduce our next guest the best you possibly can in your Michael Buffer mode, and his name is Anthony Garacio. Yeah. So let's give Michael Garacio a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Anthony. Hello.
Anthony,
excuse me.
Anthony Garacio, right? Am I saying it right? All right, let's see here. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tampa Bay St. Pete Sports Connection. Please welcome now to the Tampa Bay St. Pete Sports Connection, Anthony Garacio.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. How you doing, man? How you doing?
Not too bad for an old man. And I had a little issue with my buddy here, you know, bringing an MMA guy down here. But I respect everything you do. I've been involved in boxing for almost 40 years.
Okay, cool.
The sweet science.
Yeah.
And I had a gym up in Des Moines, Iowa. And these guys would come in, and I'd be excited to be a guy your size. Hey, man, can you teach me, you know, throw a jab? They say you're one of the best with, you know, teaching kids jab. I go, you bet. I get excited. I'm going to get you in the golden gloves. I'm going to teach you the jab. And right. Next thing they go, yeah, I'm going to be in an MMA fight. I go, get the hell out of my gym.
Right.
But then I realized my sons told me, you know, you got to change your attitude, old man, because this sport is going to boom, and it certainly has. And welcome to our show. How did you get involved in the sport?
Actually, I started boxing. I started boxing.
You walked away from us.
In Michigan. Yeah. When we moved to Michigan, me and my family, we moved back to Michigan when I was younger. And I started at Cooper's Boxing Gym.
Real? Big time.
Which is in downtown.
Yeah.
I started there, and my coach, after I signed up there, he sent me out to throw 1,000 jabs, man. I was beat up.
Oh, I'm sure.
So as a 16-year-old, yeah, man, he I learned a lot from him, and more respect than anything.
Well,
and,
I know one thing. There's a lot of guys that I have watched that don't have a jab.
Yeah.
And that's a big advantage for you.
Yeah, it actually works a lot to my advantage in mixed martial arts, actually, because I think a lot of people don't utilize boxing.
No, a lot of people have a wrestling background.
Yeah.
But if you could combine the two.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be an incredible situation.
My boxing is what I started with. And then I started boxing out here at St. Pete Boxing over there where Keith Thurman is. And
49?
His boxing coach, Keon.
Yeah. Well, that's a heck of a – there's a lot of tradition in that gym.
Right. Yeah. It's a good gym to train out of, and a lot of vets that have been out of that gym. And then I met my other coach right here to my left, Tom. He's out of Crunch over there in Countryside off 580. He's trained for a long time himself. He's a blue belt jiu-jitsu himself, and his stand-up's better than any other boxer.
So you've got that, a boxing background.
Yeah.
A great combination for success, right?
Yeah, of course. So I got a lot of good people in my corner. We just picked up another strength coach who works with him as well at Crunch. His name's Josh. He's going to start with us in about a week. And then I go over to Gracie West Chase. That's my home gym. That's in if Hillsborough.
Okay, well, you're not going anywhere quickly. What's up with the wing there?
I broke this in my last fight for this belt on the guy's head. He had a hard head.
You got to see that video, Mike. I'll show you after this.
Do you want to see it? It's 30 seconds. You can watch.
Well, I'll look at while I'm talking. I think, you know, I'm an old man. I can do both sometimes.
So he didn't last very long. This is for my second.
Now, where's this located at?
This was in Lakeland.
I got to get you back into sweet science. You got some great boxing skills, brother.
Boxing, I like throw him to the ground, beat him over the head.
Game
got
over.
It all. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's
that
a beat down.
My second belt. Yeah. This guy as well. All of my fights have been stand up. I started kickboxing in the cage 5 months ago, and then we've gone 5-0 so far.
So how old are you?
28. I turned 28 in February this year.
And how long have you been doing this?
Since 16, then I gave it a break. I tried bodybuilding and doing the pro wrestling, and I didn't want to do that. And then I came back to this. I met him, actually. Came back to this.
So, Michigan, you came down here to God's country. How long have you been down here?
Since 2014, we've been back here.
Okay. All right. Now, educate me on where's this belt from? Is it like boxing? You've got, we've got so many different titles out there, belts that it's hard to follow. And sometimes I don't like it in boxing because you got IBA, you water down
right.
each weight class.
Right.
So you have weight classes.
Yes.
Yeah, weight classes, and then where do you guys fight? Are you Florida-based, or do you go all over?
Well, right now in the state of Florida, I'm number 11.
Gotcha.
I'm rated number 11 in the whole state of Florida. I'm number 2 in the state of Michigan out of heavyweights. So this is the heavyweight ranking. So right now I'm number 11. I hold 2 belts on Tapology, which is you get their background and everything that's going on day-to-day. It's on Tapology. So I won this belt, was my first. This was out of Zephyr Hills, the gym, Top Brothers Gym. They own this league. It's called UFG.
Gotcha.
They fight out of a church school, out of a Christian school, but they hold a huge event. So if you fail on this event, God was in your corner and told you to stop. Okay.
Yeah. You need to find a different line of work over the head. Our recreation.
You should stop.
Yeah.
So I won this one. Was fairly easy. We knew it'd be fairly
so,
easy.
So you got God's blessings now. Yes. Go out there and kick somebody's ass.
2 weeks ago for Rival Fight League, which is a big one, out of Lakeland, Ross Kellen, that owns Champions Gym in Lakeland, he owns this. So he's one of the ones you got to go through before going pro.
Now, the boxing gym over here on 49th, and I'm going to get those guys on soon. I'm working with Pro Box out of Plant City. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Yeah, Antonio Tarver. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been over. That didn't take you, but he and Roy Jones Jr. do all the broadcasts, and I've gone to all the fights over there. Some great things taking place there. This gym, are there a lot of MMA guys working out
at 49th? Right now,
how'd you get in there?
I think there's more bare knuckle guys than anything, to be honest, right now.
Now that just blows me away. Yeah. Here we are. We're going back to the Roman Empire, man. Yeah. You know, and the pugilists.
They have bare knuckle MMA.
Oh my God! Yeah.
So
why don't we just have a street fight out here in front?
We should. Yeah. I think the same way. I think
that's
the
what
same
I tell
way.
People. Unfortunately, yeah. in my old age, I've been in a lot of street fights. Never started one.
Right.
Everybody always wants to come after the small little boxer. I can kick you, you know what?
I'll be honest with you, man. Boxing caught its little flame, you know, with Jake Paul coming back. I know it sucks talking about him, but with him coming back,
I don't mind, you know what?
He's getting ready to go to the MMA thing, and he's going to go up MMA. It's final form, yeah.
The only reason why I've embraced Jake Paul, and there's a kid named Christopher Young, who's a referee, and he's in the Hall of Fame, Boxing Hall of Fame, does a lot of pro box. He did his 3 bouts, and he won them all,
right.
Of course. He pays him, flies him from Tampa, wherever he fights, because he wants him to be the referee. But Jake Paul is getting a lot of exposure to the sweet sciences, I like to say. And that's the only reason. Otherwise, it's a sideshow. You know, that's why I get so pissed off about Mayweather and his clowning. And it just desecrates the sport. That's just my personal opinion.
I can't wait to watch him take an elbow and a kick to the face. So we'll see how he holds up then.
I don't think he'll hold up.
Yeah.
But Jake Paul was an old wrestler, too. He was D2 wrestler.
That's good. Yeah. It's better to see them come out and know a little bit. Than
well, let me ask you this. Would you get in the ring with Jake Paul next month?
Today.
Coach, could
you? Today. Yeah.
Would you really?
Yeah.
Well, introduce me.
Tony's coach, Tom, famous last name DeSantis, just like our governor.
There you
well,
go.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Another DeSantis I'd probably like.
Yeah, he's actually, we train out of, to be honest, we train out of his garage. It's been very simple. But it works. He's got 2 belts.
It's Rocky. Get one light bulb and put it right over there.
Yeah, we call it the dojo.
There you go.
It's good. And behind me, actually, his name's Danny over there with the hat on.
If I need some bodyguards, I just met 3
guys.
He's
the relaxation and pump king. Like, if you need to feel great about yourself and get the best guy in your corner, I've started bringing him to my fights. He's been a good friend of mine. And he likes coming to the garage, getting beat up every now and then. He's the one to
have. He's your sparring partner?
Yes. He's the guy to have.
He's too pretty.
Yep. He's the guy to have.
You don't let anybody get to that place.
Yeah, we got a pretty corner. This is my fiance right here filming.
Well, all kicked your coverage, your partner.
Yeah. So everybody in my corner is real good, but I've been with him. I've won 2 belts with him. I don't plan to lose him. He's with it till I'm buried.
So. No offense, but I love rugged-looking guys. You look like you've had a few scraps in your day.
He spars with me every we train 2 days a week, me and him. He spars every time.
Okay, so Ben, you got to get their phone numbers. You know, my old age now, if I get in any jams, I'll be speed dialing you. Get down here. The old man, yes. He's got some punks bugging him.
Of course. I do private security, too, so if you need that, let me know.
Well, and I'm not that big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you ever want to see him fight, shout out your Instagram, because you post a lot of your fights and your grappling and stuff. Right.
Yeah, it's actually ANTFIT, F-I-T, underscore 777, the number. So, go look at that, and I'll actually be fighting on Cage Fury. Plan to fight on Cage Fury in February, and that's a big one. That's going to be at the Hard Rock again.
Well, here's my baseball guy comes up to me and says, "Hey, I know you're a boxing guy. I got this MMA guy I want to bring on." I'm like, "What? I'm glad you brought me down. Brought him down.
Yeah, he's like I could bring
yeah,
you a guy.
I appreciate it.
Well, you just don't think it's going to come out of him. Baseball guys.
Yeah.
You know how they fight."
They all just clumps together.
Yeah, exactly. They don't know how to fight.
Yeah. But it's good. I appreciate you guys.
You need to get him in the gym. Teach him a little bit.
I will. We'll do some sit-ups together or something.
Yeah. I don't know about that. Yeah. But can you tell everyone about your fighting style? Are you more what's your approach in your fight?
You know, I've really been working on my grappling and jiu-jitsu because I
got a great jab, that for sure.
Yeah, I hadn't been very fond of the grappling and the jiu-jitsu. I really like to put my hands on people. So I would say more of kickboxing than stand-up, sort of a brawler style. Honestly, man, I usually plan on how I'm going to fight the person a week before. And then the night of, I throw that out the window. And I get in, and it just ends up being a fight. May don't last very long anyway.
So let me ask you this: this is at the point in your career where you're, as we call them, I promoted a lot of fights. We call them tomato cans. You know, we get somebody. You got to work your way up,
right?
So you can get a good bout, a good fight.
Right.
So we put a lot of guys in with tomato cans. Are you at that process now to some degree? Are you fighting some people that are substantially,
honestly,
difficult?
I'm at the process of taking whatever they're giving me.
Gotcha.
Because even the good, the better guys that have the better record
are chumps sometimes.
They're fighting cans themselves. And then when they see a guy that's like me and I'm coming up, I fought my last amateur fight 2 weeks ago. So I'm in pro. It's hard to get a fight. And then I went to Cage Fury over the weekend and the heavyweights that fought, wasn't impressed at all either. They're very out of shape.
Before we wind down, well, you're certainly not. You've got a team, man. You're building something here. Let me ask you this: any economic opportunities right now? I mean, what do you get? $100, a couple $100 for a win?
Honestly, I've taken most of the money from any type of sponsors, any businesses that need advertisement. I do that. We charge to put them on a banner, like that one behind you. I mean, whatever we could do on the shorts, anything. Any type of clothing and anything, so
gotcha.
Usually collect money or clothes or something like that.
Do they have prize money? Is my question.
Going into pro, yeah, it's going to be paid from now on out.
Gotcha.
In the amateurs, mostly.
No, not in the amateurs.
Yeah,
no, get both.
Yeah, but hopefully we get to see you on some pay per view pretty soon. What's the road to getting you up there? We want to see you with
We only got a minute, my friend.
Oh yeah.
Sorry. All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming down. I wish I could have got you on a little earlier. We could have expounded on it, but we'll be keeping an eye on. Well, Ben will certainly be keeping an eye on your progress. Thanks for coming to Ferg's.
Of course.
And maybe you'll convert me to some degree since you.
Well, I'll be going on to the TV, so you'll have to watch it eventually.
Of course.
So
I like that confidence.
Yeah.
All right. His name is Anthony Garacio, and he's an MMA. Moving up the ladder, heavyweight. We'll be talking about him, and you'll keep us posted. All right, so for Mark Ferguson, Boca Ciega Football, Rick Vaughn, Anthony Garacio, Brad Richardson, Ben Botham, Joe Bedreau, and Matt on the controls, I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, have a championship week.